Hey, Bible nerds, this is Dr. Manny Arango, and I'm your host for the Bible Department podcast powered by Arma. This podcast follows a Bible reading plan we created to help you read the entire Bible in a year. You can head to the show notes or thebibledepartment.com to download our reading plan and join the journey. To all my fellow pastors, I've got a question for you. Does your city know that your church exists? Listen, I get it. You're preaching, you're leading, you're discipling, you're doing ministry. We are in the same boat. And let's be honest, social media and marketing, not your strong suit, not mine either. And that's probably the last thing on your mind. And that's why we chose to partner with Church Candy Marketing for our church plant, The Garden. We out here, y'all. They help churches get more actual guests walking through the doors on Sunday without you or I having to stress over ads or algorithms or trying to crack the social media code. Right now, Church Candy is helping nearly 400 churches reach their communities with simple invite ads, and it works. It's super effective. I can tell you from firsthand experience. So if you're tired of being your city's best kept secret, how about you do this? Go to churchcandy.com/Manny and book a free consultation, book a discovery call. Their team will break it all down and show you how to start seeing new faces at your church this Sunday. I'm in the trenches with you, trying to grow the church. And how about we just start a whole campaign? No more empty churches. So let's partner with Church Candy and get our churches full for the glory of Jesus. Let's go. Family, welcome to day 58. All right, we are in Matthew chapter 13. To 16, we got four more chapters of the Gospel of Matthew, and I hope that you are loving this journey through the Gospel of Matthew so far. And hey, if you haven't done the reading for the day, go ahead, get out of here, scram, go do the reading, and then come on back. What I have to say, or what I have to add at least, will make the most sense if you have done the reading. So, Matthew chapter 13 to 16, I'm going to give a lot of context clues, maybe some context clues and some nerdy nuggets all kind of like wrapped up in one. I'm going to read a little bit from Marty Solomon's blog. I really, really like his blog. I like the Bema podcast. His book, How to Ask Better Questions of the Bible, is a really, really good book. So a lot of my content from today is going to come from sparked by some chapter 2, I think, of his book. A lot of the ideas kind of come from chapter 2 of his book. And then I went on his blog to see if he had kind of written anything in addition to the podcast content. And he had. And so a lot of Marty's content has influenced a lot of the way that I'm seeing Matthew chapter 14 and 15. So you may have found it odd in today's reading that we get two separate feedings of two separate groups. Okay. We're going to get a feeding of the 5,000 in Matthew chapter 14. And then one chapter later, Matthew chapter 15, we're going to get the feeding of 4,000 people. And so it's kind of like, well, Matthew, in one enough, you know, why we need both stories? We get it. Jesus knows how to multiply food and feed large groups of people. Like, we got that. Maybe, just maybe, there's something happening underneath the surface of the text. And we've got to ask some questions about, like, is there something additional that's going on? So here we go. Context clue. First context clue is that in Matthew chapter 14, when Jesus feeds the 5,000, okay? He is feeding 5,000 Jews, okay? So he's feeding 5,000 people who are ethnically Jewish. In Matthew chapter 15, he's in the Decapolis, and he's feeding 4,000 Gentiles. So that's the first piece of cultural context that we really need to start to go, okay, there's something happening in these stories that I'm not really aware of. So like, maybe there's something different in how he feeds the Jewish group versus how he feeds the non-Jewish group. Okay. Next thing that we need to be aware of is that numbers have massive meanings in the Hebrew mind, okay? In the Eastern worldview, numbers carry tons and tons and tons of weight. So Marty Solomon would say it like this: somebody, a Jewish person, walks into a room and sees five apples on the table. They think, yeah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Okay. They see the five books of Moses as soon as they see the number five. And so we need to start to break down what are the differences in the numbers. So this is just observation. Okay. So Matthew chapter 14, we get a feeding of 5,000 Jewish people, ethnic Jews. And then we get five loaves. We get two fish and we get 12 basketfuls. So those are the numbers that we get. That's a lot of numbers, and numbers have a ton of significance. On the other hand, in Matthew chapter 15, we have 4,000 Gentiles fed. We have seven loaves and we have seven basketfuls. Okay, so we've got a totally different set of numbers. So over here, when it comes to the Jews, we got 5, 2, 12, and 5,000. And over here, when it comes to Gentiles, we've got 7, 7, and 4,000. So what in the world's going on? So here's the numbers that we need to begin to interpret and understand. First, 5 means the five books of Moses. Okay, 2 would stand for the two stone tablets of the law. 12 stands for the 12 tribes of Israel. And 1,000 simply just means the fullness of that people group based on the number that it's multiplied by. So 1,000 is really 5 times 1,000. So it's 5, which is the Torah, times 1,000, which means a people group. So really, the 5,000 represent people of the Torah. So Marty kind of puts like all of this into an equation and puts this like almost like a retelling of the story, if you will, kind of with some equations in place. And I really, really, really appreciate this. By the way, the name of his website is called Covered in His Dust, or it's makingtalmudim.blogspot.com. Great resource. Okay, I'm just going to read this the way Marty Solomon has it on his site. It's going to read it straight from the website. It says, Jesus takes the law, okay, and insert five loaves equals books of Moses, and two fish equals the two tablets of stone. Jesus takes the law. This makes the complete 5 + 2 = 7. Okay. So he takes the complete law, 5 loaves, 2 fish, which equals a complete set of 7. And he gives it to his disciples. His disciples feed the people of God, the Jewish people, 5 books of Moses × 10, which equals complete community, × 10 × 10. Okay. So that's 5,000. So we get 5 from the 5 books of Moses plus 10 × 10 × 10, which equals complete community. When the people take and eat the law that they received from the disciples, as they received it from Jesus, there is more than enough for all of God's people, AKA the 12 tribes of Israel, which is signified by the baskets of leftovers. You see how every number now in this story has like significant meaning. So it's not just an arbitrary 5 loaves or an arbitrary 2 fish or an arbitrary 12 basketfuls or an arbitrary 5,000 people. The 5,000 people represent the complete community of Torah followers, of people of the Torah, okay, based on 5 and then 1,000. And 5 loaves represent the 5 books of Moses. The 2 fish represent the 2 tablets. And as the disciples gave it to the people. So now this is going to be a picture of the church. This is not just a picture for ethnic Jews. This is a picture that the Jewish Christians who are reading the Gospel of Matthew are able to see, man, the teaching that we're getting from Matthew, a disciple of Jesus. This is a new giving of the law. To a new people of God, and they're interpreting these symbols. So there's a nerdy nugget. Here's our nerdy nugget for the day. Anytime you're reading the Gospels, there's always 2 layers of audience. So one of the things we're always asking in hermeneutics is this: what's the original question to the original audience? Or what's the original meaning of the text to the original audience? And so with the Gospels, there's always 2 layers of an audience. Because Jesus may be talking to Pharisees or Sadducees, so that's his audience, or he's talking to a crowd, he's talking to the disciples, that's Jesus' audience. But then there's Matthew's audience. Matthew is using all these stories, which have their specific audiences, to talk to a bigger audience about other things, okay? So when we're interpreting what something means in the Gospels, here we go, here's a nerdy nugget. You have to always ask, okay, I see what Jesus is doing with his audience, but why does Matthew include this? And who's Matthew's audience? So Matthew's audience is Jewish, okay? Which is why Matthew's gospel is the most Jewish of all the four gospels. And this is why we put Hebrews, I'm pretty sure Hebrews is the next book on the reading plan. Yep. We put Hebrews and Matthew close to each other because Hebrews is also a very, 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 very Jewish book of the Bible. Okay. So I want people shifting gears least as possible. Okay. So we got all of our Pauline, Gentile, Luke content at the beginning. And now we're into like our Jewish headspace as we look at Matthew and Hebrews. And anyway, at least that's the goal of the plan. Okay. Is to kind of lead you on that journey. Okay. Now, with that in mind, we got to go, all right. So why do we have another story with 4,000 Gentiles and seven basketfuls? Well, four represents the four corners of the earth, which include the pagan nations. And seven symbolizes the seven pagan nations of Joshua chapter 3, verse 10. So if you go to Joshua chapter 3, verse 10, I'll actually go there right now. It says, this is how you will know that the living God is among you and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. How many nations is God going to drive out from the land of Canaan? Seven. Okay, so four represents the four corners of the earth, which include all the pagan nations. And the seven pagan nations listed in Joshua chapter 3, verse 10, which is the Girgashites, Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. So what is happening as Jesus feeds the 4,000 in the Decapolis? He's feeding non-Jews. Well, he's feeding the four corners of the earth or the pagan nations and giving his presence and power to the seven pagan nations found in Joshua chapter 3, verse 10. Again, is this seed of the Gentile mission that Jesus isn't personally on a Gentile mission, although he's clearly reaching Gentiles right now, but that the seeds are being planted in the Gospels for the apostles and the disciples in the book of Acts to take the gospel to the Gentiles. So you can see that we're supposed to actually interpret it this way. Here's the proof that we're supposed to interpret it this way. Go to Matthew chapter 16, and we're going to start reading in verse 8, or you start reading in verse 7. The disciples discussed this amongst themselves and said, "It is because we didn't bring any bread." Aware of the discussion, Jesus asked, "You have little faith. Why are you talking amongst yourselves about having no bread? Get this. Do you still not understand? Don't you remember the five loaves for the 5,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered? Or the seven loaves for the 4,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered? How is it you don't understand that I was not talking about to you about bread? Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Wait a second. So Jesus says, can't you interpret? Like, how many loaves and how many basketfuls? And like, aren't you keeping track of all the numbers? That's essentially what Jesus is saying. Aren't you keeping track of the numbers? Look, do you still not understand? Don't you remember? There were five loaves for the 5,000. And how many baskets did you gather? You had 12 baskets. Okay. Didn't you keep track of that? Didn't you interpret those numbers? Didn't you keep track of the symbols? Or the seven loaves for the 4,000? And how many baskets did you gather? Seven. Okay. Hey, there were different numbers for the different groups. Didn't you keep track of that? Didn't you interpret that? If that's not what Jesus is talking about here, then this doesn't make sense. Jesus clearly believes that there's significance to how many fish, how many loaves, how many people, how many basketfuls, all that. Bible nerds, I have an announcement. My brand new book, Crushing Chaos, releases May of 2025 and pre-orders are officially open. When I began to learn Genesis in its proper context, I learned that the creation account is not primarily about God creating something out of nothing, but rather God bringing divine order to the chaos of the cosmos. That one nugget was a game changer for me because I've been preaching to all the kids in my youth group that peace was a solution for their anxiety. But really, God's solution to chaos is never peace, but rather order. Peace isn't something that you stumble into. It's something that you intentionally step into. And that starts with aligning your life with God's order. I think that this book is a game changer. It's nerdy, it's practical, it provides a very contextual understanding of the book of Genesis, and if you grab a copy, you'll learn why there's a huge dragon on the cover. Head to the link in the show notes to pre-order, or head to crushingchaos.com to see the really dope trailer that we made for this book. I think it's time for you to crush the chaos in your life, and that starts with grabbing a copy of this book. Now, back to the podcast. That's our context. I feel like everything else in Matthew chapter 13 and 16 can be kind of interpreted. But that right there, I would never have figured that out on my own without Marty Solomon's podcast or blog post. And really what Marty's really, really good at is helping Eastern people to see, Western people like me and like you, to see that what an Eastern person sees when they see the text is very, very different than what a Western person sees when they see the text. Nothing hammers that home like the significance on numbers. Okay, that is Matthew 13 and 16. Trying to see if there's anything else. One of the big themes of this entire section is just different expectations of the Messiah. There's going to be different expectations that different people have of the Messiah. And I can actually go to Matthew 18 because it's going to now be Jesus is going to break into teaching. And that section is going to end in Matthew chapter 19, verse 1. This block of teaching is actually Matthew 14 to Matthew 19. And so again, like our reading is stopping before the actual block of teaching is over because our days on the schedule don't line up perfectly with how the book is actually broken up. But in this block of teaching from Matthew chapter 14 to Matthew chapter 19, in this block of teaching, one of the big, big, big lessons or big takeaways is different expectations of the Messiah. Big picture here is that everyone expected the Messiah to conform to their cultural understanding of who the Messiah was going to be. Jesus sticks to his guns. He knows exactly who he is. And maybe towards the end, our trek through Matthew, I'll give my interpretation on your boy Judas, who betrays Jesus. So I have an interesting interpretation on Judas. And our timeless truth, though, is that Jesus does not fit into my box. Okay, I may have a thing that I want Jesus to be, but he's not something that I can master or control. He's God. And so, as God, he reserves the right and practices the right to completely not conform to the expectations that I have, but to be who he needs to be. And so I always have to be ready for the fact that the version of him that I've created in my mind, A, is an idol, and B, idols get blown up, like idols get destroyed. Idols get demolished. And my image of him could be a golden calf. It could be an idol. The children of Israel were not trying to worship a false god. They were trying to worship Yahweh in a wrong way. And so because of that, they still get indicted for idolatry. And so sometimes our idolatry is the same thing. We have a version of Jesus that is actually just not Jesus. And I think a lot of that right now, especially with millennials and Gen Z, we have a version of Jesus that's like this broke, socialist, hippie Jesus that is all only about love and peace, like the barefoot, you know, hippie Jesus. And I'm like, that's a caricature of Jesus in that we want Jesus, but we don't like the Bible. I think that's culture right now. People love Jesus. They love the idea of Jesus more than they actually like Jesus. They're not very familiar with a biblically factual version of Jesus. And people aren't actually familiar with the actual teachings of Jesus. Anyway, but I hope we're changing that as we trek through Matthew. So, okay, that's our timeless truth for the day. that I have to actually love real Jesus, not just a version of Jesus or the character of Jesus that I've made in my mind. All right, fam, that's day 58. Tomorrow, I'll meet you right here for day 59. We've got Matthew chapter 17 through 20 tomorrow. Go ahead, get the reading done so that we can jump in and study the next chunk of Matthew's gospel. I hope that you're enjoying our trek through Matthew. I'm so proud of you. If you got a streak going, don't break it. I'm proud of you. I'm so glad that we get to do this together. I'll see you tomorrow. Love you guys. Peace. Thanks so much for joining us on the Bible Department podcast. You can find us online and learn more about the show at thebibledepartment.com and on Instagram at thebibledepartment. If you enjoyed this episode and want to dive deeper into the Bible, you can get free access to our library of courses at thebibledepartment.com. We'll see you back here tomorrow.